founder of the Shivas Iron Society, Steve Cohen.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. Big props and huge thanks to iTunes this past week, because the music store has put the Golf Smarter logo on the top of the podcast homepage. Yeah. So if you're new to the Golf Smarter podcast, welcome to the team. Stay tuned to the close of today's show, because we'll announce the four winners of the Extraordinary Golf and Extraordinary Putting books. Plus, we'll tell you about another giveaway that you could be eligible to win. I do want to make you aware that if you are new, this week and last week's show are a bit of an anomaly, because even though we've talked to authors and other societies, our focus on Golf Smarter is strategy, course management, skills, drills, tips, insights, and advice. So join us for this show, but please check out our past podcast and stay tuned over the next couple of weeks, because we'll provide you with great advice on how to improve your game. But for today, we touch a little more on Michael Murphy's Golf in the Kingdom. By selling over a million copies since 1973, this book has spawned a movement of followers that led to the creation of the Shivas Iron Society. Our guest today is the founder and president, Steve Cohen. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Greg. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, the Shivas Iron Society, last week we talked with Michael Murphy and got a sense of who Shivas Irons is and the history there. But the society came out of the book. How?
Well, it's you don't want the long version of the story, but basically, Murphy captured in that book, he was able to articulate something about golf that very few people have been able to articulate. And the society, I was associated with Michael through the Esalen Institute that he founded, and my background was as a therapist. A Gestalt therapist, not a PhD, not a doctor. It's just kind of a teaching style. And through a series of interesting circumstances, I ended up working with a golf professional, doing a workshop at Esalen, using Golf in the Kingdom as an inspiration to use golf as a metaphor for personal growth. So, because people came to Esalen usually because they wanted to create some change in their life, and they still do. And my work with people was in helping and supporting people to create positive change. And golf turned out to be a wonderful tool for that.
Why? Why is golf so good at that?
Well, you bring to every activity in your life who you are. I mean, whether, you bring it to everything, and you bring it naturally to golf. But golf, it takes place, it's slow, it's got lots of time for introspection, it's difficult. I think Murphy captured it. He said it's a good stage for self-discovery.
And self-destruction.
It could be a form of self-destruction, or a form. I don't remember how he said it, but I think it was something like it's a good stage for the drama of our self-discovery, and it turns out that it is, and we use that in describing this workshop, and out of the workshop. You know, eventually the people who took this workshop, and it apparently had enough impact on people's lives that we stayed connected. And it was written about in Golf Digest magazine. In the very first workshop we ever gave, a golf professional who was also on the staff at Golf Digest took the workshop. So we got some kind of publicity. And not that we were seeking it. And then I started hearing from people who were fans of Golf in the Kingdom and for whom it had an impact on their life. And at some point, it seemed like we ought to network these people. And that was the roots of the Shiva Science Society.
How much of the fact that golf is a life sport versus touch football and the fact that it is a life sport that you play as you get older, and as you get older you get more introspective, how much do you think that has an impact on the fact that it works so well for self-discovery?
Yeah, I think you've hit a point that I hadn't really thought about. But as we grow older, we're more willing to maybe be introspective, so it gives you a point to keep learning. I'm not sure that touch football, at any point in your life, even when you are physically capable of doing it, provides that the pacing that allows introspection.
Right.
Of course, it's action-reaction, action-reaction. Whereas in golf, it's action-inaction. And what's happening between shots is where the learning can take place. And so it allows a lot of time for learning. It's essentially a solitary experience. It's also essentially a bonding experience among people, but it can be played alone, and it can be played alone in a crowd, or it can be played actually, and as you know, many people do go out and play it alone. It is a field for learning. Most people see it. Well, I'm not sure the best way to articulate this. I think you ask most people about why they play golf, they don't talk about because I think it'll make me a better person. that's just kind of an interesting aside that we allow for the possibility. And Murphy, in Golf in the Kingdom, put out that possibility that maybe there is learning that can take place in golf. But before the book ends, he also questions that. He says, it just shows both sides. It's just a wonderfully humorous and well-written and brilliantly written expression that has inspired this organization that now has more than 1,000 people around the world.
Yeah, let's talk about the society for just a moment. It's
sure.
Not just a bunch of guys playing golf, is it?
No, not at all. It's set up as a educational charitable organization. We're actually a 501c3. Our mission says that we exist to explore the beauty and the mystery of the game and to provide opportunities for personal and social transformation. That's a very big statement, and it has a lot of different meanings to different people. But essentially, we're a charitable organization, and we want to provide for our members and anyone who's interested, who shares our values, opportunities for self-discovery through golf. We hold events. We have local events, national events, some international events where we travel internationally, and we try to treat our golf events as occasions to learn through play. I like to put out inspired by Shiva Science, the proposition that it's possible that the score is not the most important part of the game for most of us. Now, we're not talking about the professional game because, of course, if you're making your living at it, then at some point the score is the most important thing. But even at that level, If you treat it as the most important thing, you may not get the best score possible. So that's the magic of what we're about.
Tell me what you guys do at some of your events. I thank you so much. I was able to join you guys, and that's where I met Michael.
Yep.
At your anniversary. And I was surprised. It was not like going to a regular golf outing.
Well, I'm glad. We do try to just provide an alternative. One of the things that we like to give people a chance at all of our events, whether it's 8 people, 4 people, or even if 2 of our members go out, to support the creation of a conversation that often doesn't take place in golf. We get off the course, and the typical 19th hole, is a bunch of people talking about their good shots or other people's good shots, or if I shot this or if I shot that, or oh, if I missed this putt, or and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to imply any judgment, but there's a lot of that takes on, and we try to promote something that a conversation that might not take place normally, but that people seem to enjoy very much.
For instance.
Why do you play golf? Why do you love the game? Or what is it about the game that drives you the most crazy? I'll give people a chance. So just imagine themselves going to a golf hole. Just close their eyes and spend a quiet minute, and then share with some other fellow golfers where you go. You know, who do you want to play with, and why would you want to play with them? Now, these conversations do take place around the golf world, but we like to focus on them. Just give people a chance to talk about themselves, their relationship to the game, in a way that they might not do without our support.
Well, I'll tell you, the most unique opportunity that you provided at the event that we played at San Juan Oaks was to play two holes, and
right.
You had holes dedicated to this,
right?
Where you weren't allowed to speak.
And be quiet.
Now,
isn't that interesting?
It was really interesting, but it was a little bizarre for my foursome because it was our opening hole.
Ah, you started out.
And only I knew one guy in the foursome, and nobody else knew each other, and you know, no one had met each other. So,
right.
To play a par four that was a dog leg left
right.
Without having to be able to discuss it.
Right, right.
You can imagine as soon as we walked off the green, we were like,
right.
Okay, I got to talk about this.
Right. You know, well, that's interesting feedback, you know, and then I think about when I introduced that exercise, you know, because it's not about challenging people to be quiet. It's about giving people the experience of playing a hole without the responsibility to say good shot, or you know, it's a chance to. And I recommend this to anybody, even if it's your regular foursome and you really love to yap with each other, just to say let's play this hole without talking. Let's just see how that feels. And I'm not saying it's going to feel good or it's going to feel bad, you know, but it's different. And just to try something different now. Based on the feedback you gave me, the next time I introduce that, I might say to people, when I know people are not playing with people that they hadn't played with before, say, you know, you don't have to step on that first tee and just drop into it. You can stand off to the side, introduce yourself, say hello, and then step into the exercise. Or even say, listen, this, you know, if it's on your first hole, let's skip this and let's do it on our second hole. It wasn't so much about challenging people to do something as much as to provide the experience.
Well, we were also Group B, so we didn't talk while the other group hit first.
Well, you get two extra strokes. You know,
oh, well, then we win
for the hole.
Oh, well,
so.
I want a recall. I demand a recall. I want the Supreme Court involved now.
So other than being just bizarre, now you did it a second time. How was it the second time?
It was, I found that to be a little more introspective. I thought that was interesting. And I tend to get introspective on the golf course anyway. I mean, I like to talk, but I also like to be within myself and stay within myself, especially if I'm playing well. Then I don't say a word because I don't want to, like, jinx it.
Right.
Know?
Right.
Doesn't happen often. So
yeah, as soon as you recognize you're in the zone, you're
right.
Out of it.
Well, of course, of course.
But the zone is an interesting place, and we like to give people a chance to talk about it because you know I found that all golfers have experienced the zone. Most of them have experienced it at some point, even if it's for two or three shots in golf. But if they haven't had it in golf, they've had it in some other area of their life. And it's an interesting place of exploration.
It's kind of like a hole in one. The zone, you don't really know it was there until it's all done.
Right.
You know, hole in one, which I have not had, but I gotta believe it's like, you know, most of the time you don't even see the ball go in. It's like, did I do it? You know, I don't know.
You and I can't. I've never had a hole in one either. Not in golf, but you've had them in other areas of your life. Sure.
Like what? Where are you going with that?
Well, this is the idea or the concept to do these interviews. I mean, it's brilliant. It's one, you know, I've listened to the stuff and the stuff you've captured. So that moment of inspiration is like a hole in one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, so we are talking to an audience here that wants to lower their scores. They want to find ways to get deeper into their game and improve it on a strategic and a mental side of the game. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you've learned through the society that you can translate to our listeners that'll help improve their game?
Okay. I think the essential thing is the willingness to learn from mistakes. A lot of people get very focused on performance and trying. And what I found is that if you get from the level of trying to the level of just being, some new kind of performance takes place. And a lot of the exercises that we encourage people to do are about giving them a little bit about that experience.
Like what?
For a lot of us, there's a disparity between our practice game and our play game. I know that's something that got me interested in learning about myself in golf. How come when I go out to hit balls on a practice tee or around a practice green or even on a putting green, I have a level of performance that is very different than when I'm out on the golf course? The way I got into this whole thing of that workshop I talked about earlier was my own search to try to take my practice game into my play game. And if I also know that this is a pretty common experience. So the question becomes, what happens when the ball is there that's not present, or when the competition is there, or when the full golf course is there that's not present when you're practicing? And because you already, you know from what you've done that you have the ability, you have the skills, you can make the shot. And then when you need to the most, when you really want it, we know through biofeedback that there's a reality. The more you try, your muscles tighten up, things happen, you get in your own way. And this happens at every level, from the beginning golfer to the high achieving professional golfer, but for most of us, if you can start paying attention to where that interference comes in, to what it is, how you're interfering, and you become aware of it, it allows for the possibility of playing the game the same way you practice. And I had a conversation with some people last night, and we were talking about when you're driving a car. And I'm not the first person to say this. This has been said by many intelligent people. You're driving a car. You're moving through space in a piece of metal at 65 miles an hour, dealing with forces, gravity, centrifugal force, going around curves, drivers all around you on the highway, changing lanes. And, you do it without even thinking about it. I mean, basically, you're using more skill than it takes to get these guys to land a spaceship on the moon. But you don't even think about it, and you don't even, somebody asks you who you are, you don't even say, I'm a driver, you're somewhere else. You do this automatically. And what if there was a possibility of playing golf like that? we learn the game, we learn the basics, and you've done a lot in that area. So, and I would never, I would never teach people how to do the basics, the grip. But once people learn that, how do you then forget it and go out and just play and use it without trying to think of your next swing tip? Or, and if we can do that, and when I do that, I know that the best golf player in me emerges. And because I believe that, I just use myself as a template. And so I support others in the same thing. I have a nice saying that one of my early teachers said to me, you teach best what you need to learn. And I like that. So I like to think that I teach best what I need to learn. And the other part of it is that you're always your own worst student. If you can learn about what the interference is, something else will emerge. You don't have to try to do it. If you get to know the interference, it just disappears. And I know that that may be true for me too. So you just based on that premise, I think that, you know, that's how these ideas that Murphy puts forth, that the society stands for, can help a person become the best player that they are. It's not instead of the fundamentals. It's what do you do with the fundamentals.
Great. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I'll ask you more about the society.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's Golf Smarter, one word, at TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
We're back with Steve Cohen, who's the founder and president of the Yeshivas Iron Society, which was brought about because of the book by Michael Murphy, Golf in the Kingdom. And it has grown to be a worldwide society with events going all over the country and all over the world. And you have many aspects of the society beyond these events itself. Tell me about the journal.
Well, you know, like any member organization, we started out with a little newsletter to keep our membership informed of what was going on. And because we were inspired by a work of literature, little by little, this newsletter that we were doing, it was taking a lot of my time. People started sending in short stories and poems, or we would reprint something from somewhere. And we started to realize that our audience was very much interested in the literature of the game. I don't remember the exact moment of conception, but it was actually in a conversation with Michael Murphy when he said, you know what's missing in golf? There's no literary journal in golf. And he said, why don't you do that? Why doesn't the society do that? And that was the germ. And again, through a wonderful series that I could never describe, a series of synchronicities and meeting the right people at the right time, it was just an idea whose time was there. And there were these wonderful creative people who love golf, who are who are artists, graphic artists, photographers, and there were these people that I found around me that wanted to support putting this together. And it took us about a year and a half to get it off the ground, and we're still figuring out how to share it with the whole world. But from a critical point of view, it's a huge success. Our members love it. People. I'm just constantly getting feedback from people who have found it by accident, or you know, and it's won a number of awards for for its graphic content. Al Barco, I don't know, I'm sure you know the name Al Barco. Al is a wonderful writer, an experienced editor, an old friend. Like the journal, and is doing the editing. It took on the role of editing. We just feel it's a world class periodical, and it's inspired by the game, and it's appropriate because our organization was inspired by a work of literature. And
it is actually quite beautiful, and you know it is part of your membership to the Yeshiva Zion Society.
Absolutely,
correct?
Yes. Yeah, yes. You, as a member, you get a subscription to it. It's included in your membership.
And how often does it happen?
Well, our goal is to maybe do it twice a year, but our reality has been it's taken us a little bit more than 2 years to do the first three issues.
But that's okay, because you want to savor this.
Yeah,
whip through it like a Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, the concept is to create a collector's item. I mean, something that you want to go back to and that you can forget, you know, like a good book that you mm-hmm. you put down, you forget it, and then you go back and you find
like Golf in the Kingdom.
Like Golf in the Kingdom. Yeah. I've a lot of people who have come to me and said, oh, I love that book. And I say, when's the last time you read it? And they say, oh, gee, God, 10 years maybe. 50. And I invite them to read it again. And I very often hear back from them in very short order, thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
Saying, because I'm seeing things now that I didn't see before. Because of the work I do, I'm involved with it, I read it often. We sometimes, Michael wrote a second book called The Kingdom of Shiva Science.
Which we discussed last week.
What's that?
Which we discussed last week.
Right. Oh, you did discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We like to refer to it as the New Testament and the Old Testament. but you know, I make a joke there. But, you know, I also the society, since its inspiration, you know, we've been around for 15 years. We've grown, you know, and so we've been described as a cult of golf in the kingdom, you know, and it's not something I like to hear because it's not what we are.
Golf is a cult, so.
Well, golf, yeah, and the word cult has gotten some bad press
in
the last 10 or 15 years, but essentially, you know, what we really want to do, it's like that conversation that I talked about earlier that we want to create around golf.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the art and literature of the game is just another conversation, and not all golfers are interested in having that conversation, but there are a lot of them are, who don't have anywhere to take the conversation, and we want the society to become that place, both through the journal and through our website, which, by the way, is shivas.org. I ought to tell you that it's Shivas with an S.
Very important to know that.
It's very important because a lot of people associate it with Shivas Regal, so with a C, but it's not. It's Shivas with an S, just Shivas.org.
S-H-I-V-A-S.
Right.
V as in Victor.
Right.
.org.
Right.
And one of the things that really impressed me when I was down there was the cross-section of culture and age and sex.
Yes.
I was so impressed to see many women there,
right,
to see many younger adults there,
mm-hmm,
and to see people of different cultures.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
generally, you'd think of these societies as, yeah, there's a bunch of retired guys who are getting together, you know, an excuse to play golf one more day.
Right.
But it wasn't that at all.
Yeah, right. I think we say in our statement of purpose that, you know, we're a network of individuals who share a common love for the game. And I think that's who the character, Shiva Zions, exhibits those characters. I think that was why, because that's always been an interesting thing. Not everybody has heard of Golf in the Kingdom or knows who Shiva Zions is. And so I have to tell people it's the name of a character in a book who embodied certain qualities that we admire.
And because you are an organization that wants to reach beyond golf, there are other things that you do. There's other components that give back to the community.
Oh, absolutely. We have a scholarship program that we use both to allow people to participate in society's events who otherwise might not afford them. But primarily, we have a summer camp program where we send kids from all over the country to a one-week summer golf program. These are at-risk kids, to give them an experience of the game or an experience of life through the game that they wouldn't ordinarily get to do, to get to travel and to get to meet other kids their age in a setting around golf. Golf House in Tennessee, run by the Tennessee PGA, the people down there have been very supportive. They're fairly priced. And they have a wonderful facility. And the idea is we want to make a little difference in the kids' lives. Golf skill is not a requirement. All the requirement is need and the potential for leadership. And we work with the various first tee organizations or different agencies to help us select the kids. We don't select them ourselves. And those are the qualities we're looking for. And the idea is, we send a kid to camp, meet some other kids, we make a little difference in his life, and somehow it's like throwing a pebble into a still pond. The ripples go out. It's hard to measure, but just from knowing some of the histories of some of the kids we've worked with, I have faith that it's a good program.
That's great. Also, the other thing I noticed being at the event is that you had some pretty important people either there or listed in the golf community.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have a pretty impressive advisory.
Let's
board
name drop for just a minute. I mean, well, I got to meet. Of course, I got to meet Michael Murphy while I was there. Yeah. I got to meet Fred Shoemaker,
right,
with the book "Extraordinary Golf and Extraordinary Putting."
Well, that's great. Actually, Fred Shoemaker, I should, you know, if, you know, when I talked about the workshop at Esalen Institute, it was Fred Shoemaker and I that, you know, that did that. He was the professional, and we did that together for 10 years, and then one of his.
And he's an extraordinary teacher, right?
He is an extraordinary coach, an extraordinary teacher, and. He's had a big impact on my life. He's a good friend.
Actually, one of my foursome was his brother, Pete.
His brother, Pete, yeah. It's a pretty impressive family.
And he could hit the ball far. My goodness.
Pete was a baseball player.
You
know, but he also, it's wonderful to hang out with these guys. And, you know, when I get a chance to play golf with Fred, you know, he's up there at the white tees with me, you know. And there's always learning taking place, but it's never forced.
And so if people want to be involved in the Shivas Iron Society, there's many ways that they can be involved, whether they are active or not. But let us know what it takes to be involved and how to get there.
Okay. Well, primarily we're a membership organization. Now, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we have more than 1,000 members around the world. And we have an annual membership fee. It's $75. For that, you get a gorgeous, a beautiful bag tag. Brass bag tag. So
it's actually it's a very cool bag tag. I was looking when I played with one of the members yesterday, and I was like, "That's impressive."
Yeah, it's a cool bag tag. It's a little heavy, so some people use it as a paperweight. but it is cool, a cool bag tag. But you get, of course, a subscription to the journal. And what we like to think, because we are a nonprofit organization, you get to be part and to support something that reflects your own love of the game and your own values. You know, it's not, you know, by law, I think it's defined as an educational charitable organization, but you're not giving charity. I wouldn't want people to join to give us something. We want people to join to be part of something. And people support us in many different levels. We ask people to support us at whatever level is appropriate for them. And we also try. I hate for money to be an issue. It's enough of an issue in golf. But if people, especially for youngsters and students and people who like it, and I love it when we hear from really young people who can't, they say, "I love what you're doing, but I can't afford it." I say, "Well, you don't have to. You know, that's what we have a scholarship for." So we'll make
and you how about people who do podcasts and get no money out of it?
We'll make you an honorary member.
Right? Well, thank you. Do I get a bag tag?
you'll get a bag tag, and you won't get any guilt trips. And when the deserved rewards for this podcasting take place, you'll remember us.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is not about. I really don't want it to be about money. I really want it to be about the mission and. I'm coming to the realization that in order for us to grow, to maintain and move towards fulfilling our mission, we have to have money. It costs money. Our website is beautiful. The amount of work that people have donated to us to help create the journal and the website and the materials that we put out. I've actually had some people that didn't make a donation because they perceived us as a very wealthy organization because of the quality of what we put out, which is an interesting dilemma. I don't want to change the quality, but I don't want people to think they were wealthy. It's mostly come from donated services of very talented and gifted people.
To the listeners of the Golf Smarter podcast, I invite you to go to shivas.org, S-H-I-V-A-S, and investigate it, look through it. You'll be impressed as soon as you get there, I promise you that. And then please join up. Go and be a member of this. If you can get involved in some of their activities, you should do it. But when you do join, make sure that they know that you heard about it on the Golf Smarter podcast. Steve would appreciate it, and so would I.
That's great. Yeah, every page there's a link for feedback at the bottom of every page. Just ask questions. Let us know what you want. We're a work in process. We've been around for 15 years. Next year we celebrate our 15th anniversary. We're definitely a work in process, as just like everybody's golf swing.
And that's Steve Cohen, founder and president to the Shivas Iron Society. Now, Steve's been very generous in providing us with our next contest prize, a copy of Golf in the Kingdom. But not just a plain old paperback. We're offering one copy of a unique, limited edition, leather bound and signed on a special presentation page by Michael Murphy edition of Golf in the Kingdom. This exquisite book is stamped and gilded in 24 karat gold and has a satin marker ribbon. Each book that was produced in this limited edition comes in its own handmade slipcase and individual gift box. As in the past, we're going to do a random drawing of names from the email entries, and the drawing will be held and announced on our program that will be published on Tuesday, September 5th. Now, to enter, just send an email with the subject Kingdom, and please include your name and mailing address. Send it to golfsmarter@ttour.com. T-E-E-T-O-U-R, ttour.com. And now it's time to give away our four copies of Fred Shoemaker's books. To choose our winners, I created a list of all the email addresses for each book, and I put it in a spreadsheet, then sorted them around, and had my son from the other side of the room pick two numbers for the total number of entries. First, we have a copy of Extraordinary Putting that goes to a new listener. Welcome to Phil Bailey of Marietta, Georgia. And another copy of Extraordinary Putting will go to Chris Bombria of Payton, Colorado. Now, our copies of Extraordinary Golf will be sent to Carl Meske of San Jose, California, and Tyler Rath of Lake Forest, Illinois. So congratulations to Tyler, Chris, Carl, and Phil. I really hope these books help, so please keep me in touch with your progress after you've read them. Don't forget to check out Bunkershot.com, the online golf magazine, for news, articles, and more. And they also have a link to the Golf Smarter podcast. And hopefully you've been telling your golf buddies about the Golf Smarter podcast. And now there's a way for you to tell the world. With the Golf Smarter postage stamps. I'm going to continue to plug this one. They come on sheets of 20 and can be picked up at Zazzle.com. Go to www.zazzle.com/Fred Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. And let everyone know you're a golfer. And even better, let them know that you golf smarter. Now we end with our quote of the week submitted by you. If you have a favorite golf quote, send an email with the subject golf quote to golfsmarter@ttour.com. And this week's quote was sent by Jan Burrell of Rolla, Missouri, who provided a quote by Fred Shoemaker from Extraordinary Golf, The Art of the Possible. And he says, "There are two places you can play golf from and never have a bad day. Appreciation and gratitude." Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.